Our scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 51. St. Paul writes by inspiration, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. It was very rare for the dean of students to address us in chapel when I was a student at Bethany, but one day he got up right after spring break and had to make the announcement that two of our fellow classmates, our freshman year, had been killed in a car accident. Well, one had been killed and one was paralyzed. And to this day, when I think about that announcement, the shockwave that kind of went through the student body, you could just feel it. And there was something different about it when it was someone in your freshman class. And I'd had grandparents die and things, but it was something completely different, a different sensation that hit me when I was 18 years old and having to hear that. St. Paul in our text talks about the sting of death. And it comes from a Greek word that means to, it's used often for a very sharp pointed weapon. It's also used to describe, like in the book of Revelation, the sting of a scorpion, for instance. And a sting oftentimes from let's say a wasp or a scorpion or something like that, it's not only the initial point that hurts of getting the sting, but then it leaves something lasting inside of the person that is also difficult. So there's kind of a double sting, if you will. And that's really what happens when we hear about somebody, especially somebody young. When someone your age, when you're young, dies, it's not only the sadness and the sting of having this, having to deal with that, but it also brings to mind your own personal mortality. It also brings to mind the fact that, well, maybe this isn't going to happen to me right now, but it is going to happen to me at some point in the future. And I really don't know when. That's the other part of the sting of death. It's not just losing someone, but it is the inevitable future for you. And that's why there's kind of a different response when it's someone who is young. The empty grave of our Lord Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday provides us with confidence about some very important things. First of all, confidence that this one that we're placing our trust and our faith in really is who he claims to be, really is the Son of God. That's a pretty bold claim to be the Son of God. That's pretty out there, isn't it? To say, I am God, and I have come into this world to rescue you and take you to heaven. Think what a bold claim that is. But his resurrection from the dead is, St. Paul goes on to say to the Romans, that this was how God demonstrated and proved to the world that he really is who he claims to be, the very Son of God. So it should give you and me confidence that we're putting our trust for our future, for the greatest aspect of your future, into someone who can really deliver, because he himself is above all things. The second bit of confidence that we can get from the resurrection of Christ is the fact that the ransom price that he had to pay to wipe out all of our guilt, all of the nasty things in your life and mine that have been done between us and God that would make us afraid and terrified of being judged someday. But the ransom price of Jesus' body and death, his resurrection, was proof from God, the Father, that he has accepted that payment. It's all done. It's all completely taken care of. So if there's something in your conscience and mind right now that makes you afraid about dying and afraid about being judged by God, like what if God brings that up on Judgment Day? The resurrection of Christ is God the Father's way of saying it's taken care of. It's all done. There is nothing yet that needs to be done. Your sins have been paid for. So have confidence in that. But the resurrection of Christ also gives you confidence about your own future and having to deal with death in your future, which we all do. It gives you confidence that someday you're going to get to rise from your grave. Now, this idea of a sting is interesting. When you get stung by a wasp, I've had that happen a number of times, and I'm allergic to, to wasps. Or if you get stung by something, there's a natural recoiling and pushing away of it. There's a natural wanting to pull away from it. Many years ago when I was living in Florida,
even the pig squeals at the slaughter. And that is so true. There's just a natural repulsion in us to not want to have to deal with death. Have you ever noticed when there's a really horrific event historically and there's been a loss of life and a really large loss of life that it gets covered in the news that people, after about 3 days, the news starts to trickle off. The reason is because they know the audience can't take it. It's too much. It just becomes too much. They claim that during the plagues that went through Europe back in the 1300s and so on, that they used to have a tradition of ringing a church bell when somebody died. But there were so many bells ringing that they finally told the priest, stop ringing the bells. We can't take it. But now Christ has come to remove the sting of death for us, to take it away. He has defanged death, ironically, by his own death and then resurrection. He has stripped it of its horrifying, terrifying power that would have a hold over all of us. The Greek word is that he has devoured it. He has eaten it himself and consumed it so that it has no power over us. And so it has completely changed what death is going to be for us as Christians. Back in the 1800s, there was a man by the name of Henry Brown, and he was a slave that lived down in the South. And he had a pretty nasty taskmaster over him that made him do all this work. And his job on the plantation was to package up things that would get sent to people up in the North, up into Massachusetts and so on. And his job was to package up these things that they were selling from the plantation. Well, one day he decided to package himself and to put himself into the package. And he got delivered to freedom up in the North. Suddenly, the very thing that appeared to be part of his slavery was now his entrance into real freedom. Think about death that way for yourself as a Christian. The thing that kind of terrifies you, the slavery of death that we are under in this world, that seems like it holds us and we're kind of afraid of it happening in the future, because of what Christ has come to do, it's now your entrance out of slavery. It's your entrance into true eternal freedom where you will know nothing but the joy and the bliss of heaven. And that's why for Christians, Easter is such a special and wonderful time. Because our Lord says to us such beautiful words, because I live, you shall live also. That's just such a simple, beautiful statement, isn't it? Because I live, he says, you shall live also. And to those who have faith in him, St. Paul says he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory that he won for us on the cross and then by his resurrection, he now takes that and puts it in your lap through his word and sacraments. He gives us the victory over death. There are a number of mortuaries here in town, And I've been in a number of them for different reasons. As a pastor, I would occasionally go in and help people pick out caskets for their loved ones. And I remember one time I was one in Mankato Mortuary, and they had a whole room full of about 12 caskets, and you could pick from. And there was a price tag on each one, and you could tell it got more elaborate as you got into the more beautified ones and things. Someday for your death, maybe how you'll be dressed and the kind of casket you'll be put in or urn or whatever it's going to be, you can come up with some very wonderful, beautiful, elaborate things that you can do for your body. But, you know, ultimately, that's about the best that the world is going to give you. A really nice casket. That, in the end, is what this world hands you. Why live for that? Why go through your life living for just what this world can give you when ultimately that's all in the end it's going to give you? Your Lord Jesus puts before you the wonderful promise of your resurrection, your body physically coming back to life from the dead and being glorified by his work. And the promise of living with the angels in life everlasting at the great feast of salvation. Live for that. Live for that. Make that the purpose and the meaning of your life. Amen.